This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos. Never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? You sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Hey, before we start the episode, I just want to say please stay tuned at the very end of the episode. I give a shout out to some Patreon folks and give you a heads up kind of on what's been happening kind of just recently in my life. So anyway, just if you want to listen to that, that's at the very end of the episode. Thank you and enjoy this show. It's a great one. All right, next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
I'm Mark Boyle and I'm from Mukilteo, Washington.
Okay, man. Well, hey, you know, I saw you on social media and I found one of your paintings. And actually, I think it was a picture of you doing a painting of the Sauk River up near Darrington area. And so tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. I was born and raised here and just had a love for the outdoors ever since I was young. So I just tended to wander the woods ever since I was about 6 years old, and back then they let you do that, but not anymore.
Yeah, times have changed, man. So when did you get into painting?
I was about 11 years old, and I just started like drawing pictures of rainbow trout and like wildlife and stuff like that. And I guess that my parents saw that it seemed like I had some talent, and so they actually started bringing in private tutors about then and during my teen years. So that was really helpful to get a head start on an art career.
Oh, that's great. So what area did you actually grow up in?
Mostly Bellevue area.
Oh, okay. Do you have any of those old paintings?
You know, some of them I do, and I'm thinking, should I get rid of these or not, you know? But some of them have special memories attached, so.
Oh, I bet. No kidding. Well, I tell you, I'm really excited to talk to you because my dad was an artist, and I actually have seen a few paintings of his that he painted in the wild and stuff. And, he's still around, but he doesn't backpack anymore. And so I kind of understand a little bit, but man, I'm just really curious. So are you are most of your paintings done from the car?
What I like to do is like on some weekends, I'll just hop in my truck and I'll like pick Darrington or the Mountain Loop Highway, or maybe I'll even go further up towards Marble Mount or someplace. And basically just kind of explore around and find a really nice setting, and I'll set up my easel, and quite often it's on a river or a mountain lake, and it's just super relaxing to just paint. I like to explore and just sometimes I'm driving, but sometimes I throw the easel in the back of my pack and I'll hike up a ways at times.
Nice. So really the whole Grand Falls Darrington area is kind of one of your favorites then?
Yeah. And I also like Mount Rainier has some great areas because you can drive up closer to the meadows and alpine setting.
So when you're up there, out of your car or whether you backpacked in a little bit. Do you get people watching you ever?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, actually, in the winter, I do a lot of steelheading out on the Olympic Peninsula, and I'll bring my easel, and I go out with my fishing buddies, and sometimes we'll be out on a river bar, and I'll pull out my easel, and or by the side of the road, quite often, you know, there's like people visiting the rainforest, and they'll pull over and like watch me from the road. That's kind of funny in a way.
Oh man, it's cool. That's something, you know, you hardly ever see. I was up in Stehekin last early spring 2016, and there was a group of ladies that were up there, and they were all painting various scenes throughout the whole town. And I tell you, I was watching for longer than I thought I would. You know, it's kind of fun to watch somebody do art. It is.
Yeah, yeah. That actually could have been, there's a group that I'm in is called Plain Air of Washington. And it's, Plain Air is French for outdoor painting. And it was a movement way back during the French Impressionism. And so there's a group of people that actually have destination trips. And I know that they went to Stehekin, I think it was last year or so.
I bet it was, man. They picked about, you know, 7 or 8 different locations, and they all set up in different, you know, viewpoints of the same kind of area. And it was really neat. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it was.
Oh, cool. Well, and, so talk to me about what you use.
Okay, so yeah, as far as like easels, I've done a lot of experimentation, which has led to a lot of purchasing different types of easels. But so the biggest thing is like when you're backpacking, you know, you want to go super lightweight. I use this Gorilla Painter Peshad box. It's like a thumb box, cigar box size, and that's pretty lightweight, and it has like a wet panel holder, and it's got a regular like little box for your paints, and then it's got like a palette on the top, so it's a pretty good self-contained unit. And and then I've also got some other various sizes up from that. There's also like this outfit in Montana makes a palette and panel holder that's pretty cool. But yeah, but mostly like for if you're pulling off the side of the road, I like to use the wooden Maybeth backpacker style easel. You can find those online, and that's typically what you see artists using.
Oh, okay, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, so if you do happen to put the easel in your backpack, how many paints would you typically take with you?
Probably I use about less than a dozen different paints, all the way yellows, orange, reds, greens, blues. And then sometimes you can just, you know, mix colors. It's the more limited palette you have, the better off. It kind of forces you to learn how to mix different paints. Whereas if you get like tube paints, like a pre-mixed green, sometimes it's harder to actually come up with the green that you want, because you have to add a red or a yellow or something to that. So like to make a green, I've actually switched back to using like yellow and blue. So
yeah, no, that's great. And yeah. And is there a certain type of paint that you like to use?
You know, actually I use a wide variety, and different paint manufacturers have different techniques, and I really like this Rembrandt paint. It's really transparent, and I use that for some of the blues and other colors that are nice to be transparent. And then, but I also use Winsor Newton's, and there's also some really great handmade paints now out on the market. They're a little bit pricey, but they're really, really luscious colors.
Oh, that sounds cool. Yes. And just to be clear, I don't think we really talked about it at all, but you know, there's typically two types of painting styles, the oil and the watercolor, but you're leaning towards watercolor, right?
Right, right. Or oil painting lately. Is that what you said?
Oh, you're switching, you're doing oil?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's oil paint. I used to use for a while opaque watercolor when I was plein air painting, but I pretty much exclusively use oil paint now.
Oh, okay. Well, so walk me through then, because I'm not very familiar with oil. My dad was a watercolor artist, or is, I guess. I hope he's listening to this. He needs to be. But anyway, so if you do backpack that in, then is there a certain way you need to package kind of your painting when you're done then to pack it out, or you just put it all in the easel?
Yeah, there's with the challenge with oil paint is it doesn't dry very fast. So you've got to carry with you something called a wet panel carrier. And there's a company called Raymar, and they actually make like this really lightweight, like styrofoam wet panel carrier that's got like little plastic slots. So it's like a slotted box. And that's in addition to my easel and like my solvents. So to carry my solvents, I use a really small metal canister. And that's works for the solvents. And so sometimes I carry them all kind of loose, but I throw them in a plastic bag, like a extra heavy duty construction bag.
Oh, okay.
And that keeps things from spilling out, or, you know, sometimes the paint tubes get punctured and, you know, start squirting out oil paint. That's not good.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so that's, it's kind of, you know, you kind of just work with what you got, so.
Okay, well, and what about as far as location? So talk about, you know, you're out there trying to pick a spot or whatever. What typically draws you to a certain location?
A lot of times, also being a designer, I look for a composition, a natural composition. Like, I love painting at Silver Falls at Mount Rainier because it's got a natural S curve to it. So I look for the design, and then I look for the color also, what's going on. Or just something that looks really super beautiful.
Do you like multiple colors, or do you like different varieties of the same color?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like say a sunset's going to have like completely different colors as a contrast, right? But if you look at, like, I don't know, I'm just kind of picking something like the whole rainforest, right? Uh-huh. You're going to have multiple different varieties of green. So what would be more something you'd be more apt to paint?
Well, one thing I really like is warm and cool contrasts. Like, I also do razor clam dig paintings. And what struck me about these clam diggers taking their lanterns out at night was the warm glow of the lantern, and then like the cool background, you know, of the setting sun or the evening. So I like to find warm and cool contrasts, or like bright spots of color or something like that.
Yeah, as you said that, and you know, I should point out, you know, to anybody that's listening to this, if you're at home, for sure, or when you do get home, go to markboyle.com. That's markboyle.com. And I just clicked on the paintings tab at top, And I'm looking, and I see exactly what you're talking about. I went to clam digging art. And so, yeah, it's very obvious what you're talking about here. And that is really cool. I mean, you're, man, I tell you, I love these pictures, pictures of these paintings, I should say.
Well, so. Thank you very much, Rudy. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, looking at your different things on your website here, as far as different categories you have and stuff, and you know, talk about the sport fishing art.
Well, I am really passionate about fishing, and one of the most enjoyable things is actually even more enjoyable than catching fish. I like to kind of follow my friends when they're fishing and like take different photos of them while they're fishing. And, you know, if it's a really amazing scene or setting, that to me is more wonderful than catching a fish. You know, catching a fish is secondary. It's about the experience. And that even goes for hiking or backpacking. You know, if there's a amazing campfire and then the setting sun with the reflection in a mountain lake, there's nothing better than to actually experience it. And then maybe do a little color study and then some photos and then come home and actually do a full scale painting. And when it turns out, it's just magic. That's really a rewarding feeling.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at you have a blog post here too. Can you talk a little bit about this amazing location at markboyle.com here? I was noticing you have all I could say is the picture is labeled a long bushwhack trip in the Cascades. Can you talk about that trip?
Yeah, well, I have to say I'm very secretive, especially now with all the postings on these beautiful spots. So I actually, that's kind of a little secret spot of mine.
Oh, good. Okay.
But it's like through my travels throughout the years, I found a few really amazing places. And this one is just like way off trail, and I'll tell you, it's in the North Cascades, but it's like the most amazing setting. And so I went up there with a friend a few years back, and we just literally hung out right there on this pass for quite a few days, just watching the sun come up and go down every day and just hanging out. And I'd paint pretty much all day long doing color studies up there of the changing light. And it was like a real spiritual experience.
Oh, that's amazing, man. Yeah, it looks like a really cool location. I mean, it looks like a nice meadowy pass, huge mountain there. And I can imagine the colors have just popped out.
Yeah. But, you know, some of the places up there are pretty brushy, and, you know, it's pretty invigorating, but, you know, you definitely work for it.
For sure. Yeah. Well, so, hey, you sent me a link of a really cool time-lapse video. Can you talk about that one, or is that a secret spot too?
No, I think that's the Mount Shuckson one. If you want to see a lot of artists painting, that's a really popular destination now. So it's a great spot. And that was just right on the side of the road. And I think it was not far from Picture Lake or something. And I actually did that on my iPhone. I was just experimenting and trying something new. But I think I did that painting in an hour before my phone died. And but, you know, you really have to paint fast because the light changes. And it's just fun to do those time-lapse pieces. So.
Oh, it looked great, man. At the end I was thinking, oh, man, I should have slowed it down and given the camera a smile or something, but yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, also when you're outdoor painting, you know, the mosquitoes are biting you, and it's like, you know. So
yeah, very candid. Yeah, that's a really cool video. I'm going to link to that in the show notes of the episode here, and another thing on your website that honestly I was blown away by these campfire paintings.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of those, I love to go to Idaho and the Sawtooth Wilderness, and those are from some of my backpack trips there. So, and my friends put up with me because I'll run off nearby and I'll say, okay, hold still, you know, and they're like, oh. And I'm like, can you move over here? Can you move over there? And they're like, oh, man, we just want to enjoy the fire.
those are great shots. Can you talk a little bit about too, you know, some of the places that you've shown your art?
So I've actually throughout the years entered a lot of shows, and I exhibit nationally. I just was in a show. I'm in the California Art Club, and they do a gold medal exhibit in a LA museum, and just had a painting in that. But also locally, I've got work at the Howard Manville Gallery in Kirkland and the Cole Gallery in Edmonds, Washington.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. And how about, have you ever done like, you know, I remember, I don't know why I just thought of this, but when I was probably 5 or 6 years old back in the 70s, and my dad used to set up at Leavenworth way back then. I don't know exactly when it was, but have you ever done anything like that, like just kind of sold privately also?
Yes, I actually did Issaquah Salmon Days for a while, and I had three of their collector's prints that I did with them, and they were all sold out. And that was a lot of fun. And you get to meet people that are interested in art, and it's really pretty exciting to talk to people about art and stuff. So
yeah, that's a good way to kind of connect with folks. And well, what about, I don't see anywhere on your website where it says like purchase this painting. So do people need to contact you?
Yeah, I mean, if someone is interested, they can email me off the website or go to the gallery links that are also on the website to see what's available. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I saw that there's a tab that says galleries. So there's a couple of choices there. So you just click on that, and it'll bring that stuff up then.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Well, cool. Hey, you know, was there something that I forgot to ask?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Well, you're the professional, sir.
yeah, I think you pretty much covered it. You know, I just encourage anyone out there, even if they're hesitating a little, don't hesitate and grab your paints and go out and find some place to paint, because it's really super relaxing activity and really a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. And I guess I do have one more question. So based on what you were just saying, okay, say somebody out there that's listening to this, listening to your professional talk here, how would they start as somebody that's just starting out? What would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend, first of all, not getting frustrated, because it takes a while, really, you know, sometimes to get, you know, in practice. But, you know, just the main thing is it's almost an escape. Because once you start focusing on like a river or a scene, it's like you just kind of meld into that whole landscape, and it's just really a lot of fun. But I also, you know, think it's really good to take classes. There's a lot of good places. There's one place on Whidbey Island that offers classes, and, you know, there's classes in college and wherever, so...
Okay, so class and stuff. And then are there certain stores that you might recommend people might go check out as far as like the easels or something? Or are you kind of shopping online?
You know, I shop online. I go a lot of different places. It's getting a little more challenging to find a local store. But there's like Dick Blick on Capitol Hill is a good place. There's also a place in Kirkland. I can't remember the name of it. And then Daniel Smith is a really good supplier also. They've got a lot of easels, and they're in Seattle and Bellevue. So
I can remember going down there with my dad. That was his spot, was Daniel Smith. So,
yeah, yeah. Does he still paint at all? Or?
Well, you'd have to ask him. Yeah. You know, I don't think he does. He got into some kind of collage art, and then I think he kind of just gave it all up. But, yeah, he used to do watercolors, and he was at the Fry Art Museum. He won one of their awards there. And,
really?
Yeah, back in the 80s. It's been a while, but he was with the Pennsylvania – gosh, what's the art well, he was a member of the Pennsylvania Art something or other. It was really cool over there. But, he did a few things. But he stopped. But I do remember, stopping at Stevens Pass with him, and he was painting some stuff up there. And just, you know, we'd stop some places somewhere. And that really intrigued me when I saw that that's something you do. So,
yeah, it's actually the outdoor painting, plein air painting has become quite almost a movement, or it's gained in popularity in the past 10 years, and there's a lot of people doing it. But really, if you're a serious painter, you've got to get out there and explore the colors from life rather than a photo. And that's really why I do it, is mainly it's like I'm just studying what's, you know, you actually find different ways of mixing paint out there because you're forced to paint fast and you're just grabbing colors here and there and trying to mix them and make them look like what you see right in front of you. So your painting is actually way more color accurate outdoors, but it tends to be rougher and looser because you have a short amount of time versus being in the studio.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I was actually kind of wondering that because I can remember sometimes just my dad painting from pictures, but man, I could really understand what you're saying with the colors and the whatnot.
Yeah. When I was, a couple of times I struggled with some colors. I used to do strictly pastel paintings, and I would do brilliant sockeye paintings in pastel, and you'd have a really bright red pastel you could use. But then I switched to oil paint, and I could not get that bright red sockeye color. So I actually drove up to Canada and grabbed my oil paints, and I went up to a river there that had a huge sockeye run, the Adams River, and I actually put on my waders, put my easel in the river, and started mixing colors, and sure enough, I found the right combination to get that bright red, which turned out to be lemon yellow and cad red. And the yellow actually brightened up the red enough that it wasn't quite as dull looking. So, and then I also used like alizarin crimson for the darker areas of the sockeye salmon. So that was a very enlightening experience.
Wow, that sounds really cool. I like that story a lot, man.
Yeah,
that really puts it in perspective right there.
Yeah, and the same with my razor clam digging paintings. There's a certain time of night, like about approximately half an hour, 45 minutes after sunset, where there's kind of almost more of a rainbow color effect going, like the blue, the warm horizon line going up to the blue, to a darker blue way up in space. And I would go out after work and I would pick 15 minutes and I would frantically mix colors and just slop down a bunch of color, trying to come up with whatever was going on at that moment. And that was also a very enlightening thing because the light was different every night. But after a while, you discover different mixtures. Like I would use a Naples yellow light with a turquoise to get these brilliant colors. And that was a very enlightening experience.
Wow, that's really interesting. So you actually kind of picked those colors, kind of put them together, and then you did the art afterwards then?
Yeah, so I actually have little cut out pieces of I use Belgian linen with a oil gesso surface, and I've got like just loose cut pieces that I tape up on a board, and then I'll actually pull out the pieces and refer to them when I'm doing a finished painting in the studio, just to kind of recall what I was using.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Sometimes I even write on the edge of the canvas what color mixtures I used. So I consider those to be like color notes.
Yeah, that's great. Do you keep that in a book, or how do you do that?
Oh, just piles and piles of my-
You keep that in your studio then?
Oh yeah, I've got piles of this and that. Different size little. I keep them pretty small. I actually use like panels that have Belgian linen mounted on them, and so I've got like 8x10 sizes all thrown in my cupboard, and they're all stacked up, and I'll look through those piles and I'll try to remember what I used. And so they're very great. It's like, just like taking notes.
Oh, it's a great reference. Yeah. And I'm sure you know where every single one of them are in order.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's good. But I don't know why I just thought of this, but, a big movement for the last 5 or so years has been these painting groups where people will get together and they're very novice. Do you ever see anything like that out in the, the kind of wilderness?
Yeah, I mean, there's different groups that have different events. Sometimes it's pretty rare, but you'll come across an artist. Last year I went with a group of artists on a pack trip in Idaho, and we had some horses pack all our gear in, and that was a blast. So
what a great idea. Yeah. Well, I was kind of thinking of those like you might see at a winery or a brewery. There's a bunch of people just painting. I wonder if that has moved into the wilderness at all.
Like paint night, sip and whatever, right. Sip and dip or whatever.
Oh, you've done that. I see.
No. But I do have wine when I paint sometimes. But that's a very interesting. I think it sounds like a lot of fun, they're very popular. So I'll try one sometime.
Yeah. Well, it'd be kind of cool maybe maybe not for you to do, but for somebody to maybe start doing that out on the Mountain Loop Highway or something like that, like to inspire people to get out there and paint nature.
Yeah, that's a heck of an idea, get a group and maybe even a camp set up or something and a campfire afterwards. That sounds like a good idea.
Or a campfire for the painting.
There you go.
Mark Boyle style.
Yeah.
All right. Those
marshmallows.
Yeah, why not? Well, hey, Mark, man, thanks so much for taking your time to talk here on the Cascade Hiker Podcast.
Much appreciated, Rudy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and hey, don't forget to go to markboyle.com, markboyle.com. All right. Well, hey, I realize that I've kind of failed in giving a shout out to all my patrons. Go to patreon.com and sign up for patreon.com/CascadeHyperPodcast. You're going to find me there, and I really don't post a whole lot over there, but it's just a landing page for you guys to be able to support the podcast and become, you know, just a partner with me. So I want to give a shout-out to John MacArthur, Dennis Hanlon, Mark Wetherington, Malcolm Bates, George Winters, Mike Rothmeyer, Rick Peterson, Richardson Get Sick, Laura Railing, Lee Faust, Best of the Northwest, Tim Fitzgerald, Debbie Thorne. Just want to say thanks a lot to those folks. They've gone over there, they've signed up, and they've pledged a certain amount per month, and just want to say thank you so much. Let's see, who is the top dog so far? The man that wanted me to do this originally, George Winters, he's the one that wanted me to set something like this up. So, hey, George Winters, thank you so much. Malcolm Bates and Mark Wetherington are right there, right behind him. So, anyway, go on over there. And, you know, to be honest with you, you don't get a whole lot extra over there because I don't tend to post a whole lot there. I can, if you want me to, send me an email, Rudy@CascadeHikerPodcast, and I'll work on that a little bit more if that's something you guys really want. But like I said, it's more of a place for you to just kind of join me, partner with me, and hopefully we can get some sort of an event together and get everybody together. Please rate the show, iTunes especially. It lets people know what to expect when they listen to the show. Go over there. 5 stars would be great, whatever you can do. I don't care. I just want to see some more ratings on there. I've seen a few recently that have popped up. Maybe if I feel inspired to, next episode I'll kind of give a shout-out to those folks too. Thank you so much for doing that. Also wanted to kind of give you guys a heads up. I talked all year about my Big Hearts Pass trip. I actually had to cancel it because of a fire close by in the Mazama area that just kind of scared us a little bit. There's only one road in and out of that area, so I didn't want to put anybody in jeopardy by getting stuck up there. So anyway, we did have to cancel that. And it's already come to pass. I'm recording this as I should have been up there right now. So anyway, I just wanted to give you guys kind of a follow-up on that. And anyway, go to patreon.com/CascadeHikerPodcast and join me. Thank you so much. And hey, I'm back. Okay, that's the show. Thanks a lot for listening to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Send me an email, Rudy@CascadeHikerPodcast.com. I love the feedback. Also, hit me up on Facebook. North Cascade Hiker is my Facebook page. Twitter, N_Cascade Hiking on Twitter. And Instagram is North_Cascade_Hiker. So pretty simple to find me on social media there. You can also just leave a comment under the show. So I try to give you plenty of ways to get a hold of me. Do so. I want to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. I would leave this world for a beautiful girl if I could just find you.